You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently vacating, relaxing, resting deservedly. And she'll be back before you know it, and she misses you all very much. We're here in the second hour with Calvin, Sweet Cal B, on the boards. And you can be a part of the conversation. Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. You know, chat with us. We want to know what's going on. We'd love to hear from you. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter in this house. At 10:35, we're going to have some audio sorbet talking about the things we're finding out about Wisconsin. I found out a lot about Wisconsin yesterday that I did not know, so I did some more diving into the wonderfulness that is the Dairy State, the Cranberry State, the Badger State, and I now know why. But you can be a part of that conversation. Let us know. You can email that in. Jane says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. And of course, to round it all out, this shouldn't be a thing today, the In the Thick of It edition. Calvin found this one, and he will be defending his feelings on it as well. So don't go anywhere. Got a great, great, great second hour for you ahead. And it is the first Wednesday of the month, which I don't know if my next guest knows how excited I am to have him on the show every month, because I love hearing from him. I love hearing about the world of farming. It is the Wisconsin Farmers Union's president, Darren Von Ruden. Darren, welcome to the show. Welcome to Wednesday. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, thank you, Greg, for having me again. And I'm doing well. It's got done chopping our third crop yesterday. Okay. So got a couple days off here and then heading to Washington, D.C. for our National Farmers Union fly-in, and then get home from that, and then it's Vernon County Fair time, so I'll be flipping burgers at the Vernon Crawford County Farmers Union food stand on Friday and Saturday. So busy couple weeks coming up.
I'm going to look up on a map where the Vernon Crawford County Fair is going to be, because I would love to have a burger flip by Darren Von Ruden. I would say that actually very. A couple days off. You don't usually hear that from a farmer saying that. I got a couple days off.
And in reality, I might have less than 12 hours because it's about noon now, and by noon tomorrow, I got to be getting ready to go to Madison and jump on an airplane.
Gotcha. I see. So time variables are different for farmers. Like, I got a couple days off. What does that mean in regular people? 3 hours. Well, I'm glad you, as always, you can take time to talk to us about what's going on in the world of farming. There's never not something happening. And I want to start, you mentioned that there is reorganization at the USDA, and I'm just going to actually read the headline of an article from the Union of Concerned Scientists. It says it very simple. Trump's appointees reorganizes in quotes, the USDA, putting the department's mission at risk. And from what I understand, Darren, they're going to kind of take everyone in D.C. and throw them into remote offices around the country.
Yeah, that's the current plan, and it seems like it's probably going to be a major hurdle, number one, because a lot of those employees that are in D.C. might not want to relocate to those cities of choice that USDA has picked for relocating those offices. We did see some of this under the first Trump administration, where they moved a part of the USDA to Kansas City, and less than 40% of the actual employees from DC relocated. So now you see the situation where you have to retrain people, hire new people, get the local sector there really ready to handle what's happening. The USDA really needs to still have a central location, which hopefully it will be DC. Mm-hmm. But if they do decide to move that central location out of DC, that just means that we're going to have less interaction yet with our elected officials through the USDA. And so everything that we can see in looking at the history of these reorg things within the USDA, they have not ended well. So it's hard to say how this is going to end up, because it's still kind of in the beginning process. But we're really afraid of the consequences that farmers are going to face with this reorg issue.
Well, and that's, that always is what the conversation comes down to, is how this always is going to affect the farmers. And, you know, one of these days I want to have you on the show where I say, what's going on? And you say, it's great, Greg. Being a farmer is the best. The government is great. The state governments are great. I mean, I am just swimming in money and dairy. It's the best thing ever. But it seems like everything that happens has such a knock-on effect for the farmers. And by the way, folks, when I say that, I'm really talking about both parties, both sides. But what this seems to do to me is throw the USDA into a timeline of disarray and inconsistency where, one, they think that having less people in the offices, having less people working is better because, you know, government is bloated, government's awful, government's slow. So if we, you know, if 40 people quit, then that's fine. We'll just have the rest of them do the work because that's how we do it. The government's efficient and whatever. But also from the time that this all takes place, from when it starts, and something that I found on farmweeknow.com is that the USDA is extending their comment period for the reorganization plan. So it hasn't taken effect yet, and it's going until the end of the month so people can put in their comments. But let's say calendar year 2026, it starts. How long is it before farmers can actually rely upon the USDA to do their job after they're done shipping people to different states, getting them their housing, getting them started, plugging in the computers? You are already in a place where you don't know what's going on with regard to the farm bill, and we'll get to that in a moment. But this seems like a whole new hurdle that is just going to absolutely decimate some farms.
Yeah, well, you know, in reality, hopefully it's a seamless process so that farmers have that everyday contact.
Yeah.
In reality, though, it's probably not going to happen because when you do lose that many employees from any business, really, there is some issues that will arise. Maybe not on day one, but day 10, 20, 30, as people are still trying to figure out where their office is at, number mm-hmm. one. But number two, just the programming, and as you look at it, somewhat of an aged computer system within the USDA. It hasn't been kept up to what it needs to be. So looking at trying to make those connections and get the programs aligned for your farm that you want to be a part of. You know, certainly with the cuts that have been made within the USDA already, there's a ton of programs that aren't available. So yes, there is a little bit less work, but those farms have been critical to small farmers across the country. And really, you know, this reorganization and trying to become more efficient, as they say, is really only helping the largest farms that, you know, I don't know that I consider most of the people that are getting those $750,000 or $1 million checks farmers. They're farming the system is what they're doing. They're not actually the ones that are out there getting the manure and the dirt under their fingernails and doing the hard work of producing the high quality food that farmers have for decades in this country.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, you are listening to the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Rudin. He joins us the first Wednesday of every month to give us the update on what's happening in the farming world. And we're talking currently about the proposed reorganization of the USDA. And Tony on the live stream says something interesting here, and I want to hook it into a question that's more about your experience of going to Washington, because you go to Washington every year to talk to legislators. You talk to people, like not just the elected officials, but the people who work in the departments that directly affect the farmers. And he said Democrat Tim Ryan from Ohio proposed moving agencies out of Washington, D.C., but he proposed moving them to economically distressed areas, not moving for political reasons. And the political reasons thing that hit me was because in this picture, in this article from I want to get the name of it correct, the Union of Concerned Citizens, there is a picture of the building of where the USDA is. And there is a tank and two troops in front of it, and there is a hanging banner. And I want to know from you, Darren, of all the times you've been to that building where the USDA is, have you ever seen a banner with the president's face on it? Or has it just been a banner saying the USDA? Has it? Because I'm looking at a banner with President Trump's face on there in his very, you know, staring with the low lights and making him look very ominous. But have you ever seen that?
Not in all the years that I've been going out there, and I've been going out there since the early 90s, with the exception of a couple of years in that. And no, we never have. Certainly there's been banners hanging on the buildings, celebrating different events that have happened. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly during different times of year, there's banners that are there to celebrate things, but never have seen a banner of the president on the outside.
And I want to bring that up, and thank you for answering that, because I know that wasn't on our list of things to discuss, but it goes back to something we talked about earlier, that these things aren't being done with a plan in mind. These are all being done for political reasons, and for whether it's quote draining the swamp or punishing states who don't vote for you or cities that don't vote for you or occupying them with troops. This everything is about a political reason. It is not about the process. It's not about a plan that can help benefit the farmers. This is about propping up one man, and that man's in the Oval Office. And he thinks he knows everything. And really, when it comes down to it, as you've made it very clear, reorganizing the USDA in this way is not advantageous for the farmers. Now, if you could, if you were asked, Darren Von Ruden, farmer in Wisconsin, to say, like, hey, what could we do to make the USDA better? I mean, I'm sure you would have a list of things. You would have some things to say, here's some pointers.
Yeah, you know, many to begin with. Number one is making sure that we spread the wealth instead of concentrating the wealth. You know, over the years, we're starting to see fewer recipients that are getting larger dollars. You know, why does anybody need to be getting a check for $1 million when the cost of living and your, I'm trying to think of another word here now. Anyway, poverty level.
Yeah.
Is that $40,000 in most states? Some states it's less than that. But why do we continue to give out these huge checks to, you know, one or two individuals? In some places, some farms are really farming the system and having a whole family, 4, 5, 6, 10 individuals getting those dollars from there. We need to make sure that happens. The previous administration, Zach Ducheneau was the Secretary of Agriculture, or the FSA director, mm-hmm. National director. He actually put his phone number out there so farmers and employees could call him on a regular basis. Wow. We're not seeing that from this administration. They're really, you know, keeping a tight lip and making sure that they don't have to go out and do any more than they have to. And so the openness being, you know, really proactive in trying to solve problems before causing problems. We're seeing more problems being caused by this reorganization than we should be.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, and going back to what, and you just mentioned it too, is like those people getting the checks usually are the bigger farm factory companies, not the farmers that you know, the farmer that you are. And we're going to keep this conversation going with Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, because he's heading to Washington again to talk about many things regarding farming, including the farm bill, which, by the way, still has not been passed. But we're going to talk to Darren about that and talk about his experience and what we should expect from those conversations when we come back from the other side of the commercial. Get yourself some water. Get yourself a snack. Stay hydrated. Stay amazing. Stay awesome. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, and she will be returning back sometime sooner than later. But we're happy you're here today. We're happy you're sharing your time with us. You can always be part of the conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the place we still call Twitter. My guest, as always on the first Wednesday of every month, is Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. We were talking earlier about the reorganization of the USDA under the Trump administration and the tumult that it will present for our farmers, because he wants to send all of those who work in Washington out to various areas of the state, of the country, for reasons. I don't know. I'm not going to try to get in that man's head, but they're not good ones and they're not going to help the farmers. But you, sir, Mr. Von Ruden, you are going to be, you said yourself, going to Madison tomorrow, getting on a plane flying to D.C., because this is what you do as part of the Farmers Union. You go and lobby and speak and try to push influence in a good way. I don't want to use that word in a negative light, but you want to help lobby your farming community. And so talk to us about what will be part of that fly-in next week.
Yeah, so next Sunday evening through Wednesday, members of Wisconsin Farmers Union and all the other state organizations will be flying into D.C. to visit the USDA. On Monday morning, we go to the Jefferson Auditorium and get quite a few presentations from USDA staffers. In years past, we've had very good interaction with our USDA Secretary of Agriculture. Under the last Trump administration, we were in the presence of Secretary, I'm drawing a blank now on his name, from Georgia, but he did not take any questions from the audience because the microphone system in the audience wasn't the best. Well, under every other secretary, we've been able to interact and have those questions. And of course, there's going to be some hard ones, because when you're in a dire situation like farmers are, they bring those stories to D.C. and talk about them openly and want to get a reaction from either secretary or undersecretaries or somebody else that's in there. Tuesday, we'll spend the day on the Hill visiting our congressional offices here in the state, plus probably from some other states that we don't have Farmers Union presence in. Mm-hmm. Wednesday morning, we'll finish that up by noon, and then farmers will head home.
But okay.
This year, we're certainly looking at that farm bill process. We're hearing many different names for it right now. Farm bill 2.0, skinny farm bill. What can happen because of the bill that was passed back in May that took a bunch of the farm bill dollars and put them into that bill. So yeah, some sectors of the farm bill have, been addressed and have been funded. But the conservation title and trying to make sure that a lot of the programs that small farms had been receiving, can we get those back?
Yeah.
But really, conservation is a big one, because if we don't look at making sure that we've got good, adequate water, plus lands that are productive in the system and keep them going, what does the future of agriculture look like in 15, 20 years if we see a huge bump that we're probably going to be seeing with the current actions in D.C.?
And for one, former Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue was in during the first administration, and shocking as Mike didn't work. But as a point of reference, just so people know, this farm bill isn't something that's just, we're working on this right now. We're making it, it's good. This is a bill that's 2 years late. This bill was supposed to be passed in 2023, and it was kicked down the curb for a year. And then they said another year, and they weaponized the bill because of the food subsidies within that bill. As you mentioned, they took them out and put them into the big bill for billionaires. And there's a part of me that says, well, can we take the lemons and make lemonade? Can you negotiate? Say, look, you took the things you don't like out. Now let's negotiate a new bill that actually helps us. But it seems like in the conversations I've heard from you, had with you, and from other people like Hans Breitenmoser and Pam Jahnke, the move is to really benefit the corporate big business farms as much as possible. And you guys, we love you. You're the backbone. Good job. But you're essentially on your own.
Yeah, it's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers, small town USA, which, as you said, is the backbone of the country. Because without those economies strong, it all trickles up.
And, yeah,
the trickle-down economy that we've seen from the Republican administrations for the last four decades now, those dollars never get back to small town America.
No.
And we're seeing the destruction of that process. And this is really going to exacerbate that process as we go forward here, because there's going to be less opportunities for small town America to be able to get funding that should have been available, could have been available. We pay taxes just like we actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do, especially with
yes,
the current
sir.
System the way it is. So why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? And whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs out there, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy. And, you know, looking forward, you know, we do have an election coming up again mm-hmm. next year, and people really need to take a look at what's going yeah. on out there in D.C. and in Madison. You know, which party is in charge right now, and which party's been better for you or mm-hmm. more destructive to you.
Yeah. And I would love to be funny about this, but I'm not. And I hope someone passes this along to the congressman. But Mr. Van Orden, we're talking. Are you listening? You're on the Ag Committee. Help. Please be part of the solution. Please. Darren Van Ruden is our guest every first Wednesday of the month, talking to us about everything farming. Mr. Van Ruden, Darren, have a great trip. Be safe. Enjoy your day or so off and flip them burgers with gusto, buddy.
Thank you, Greg. We're way on the western side of the state.
So. All right. All right. Maybe I'll be there. All right. When we come back, it's time for Audio Sorbet. What do you know about Wisconsin? Tell us. Share it. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently vacating and will be back before you know it. But you got me for right now. And more importantly, and way cooler, Sweet Calby on the ones and the twos, the Dr. Slide. Are there, Calvin, really quick, we had a suggestion or a request from our listeners. By the way, if you're listening, watching on the live stream or on the phone or on your device through the Civic Media app, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Call or text, same phone number. You can do that on the regular phone or on the Civic Media app. If you're on the live stream, leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. I think last year, Calvin, we put out a request, you know, for nicknames for you. And I feel like we use Sweet Calby, the Calvinator, and Dr. Slide. Are there any others that you can remember or that you liked that we don't use? Or should we put a request for proposal for more? I feel like you might be due for a refresh, a rebrand.
You know, I'm always open to new suggestions. I think one that's kind of fallen out of favor. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't have preferences. It's like a parent with their children.
They don't love them all equally.
You love them all equally. One that's fallen out of favor, though, I think is the Board Lord. I don't hear that
that's
one as
right.
often.
You know, honestly, I feel like for the two kind of, and I'll just say it, and I don't mean to insult you, but I might insult you right now, but I do it out of love because I do love you, Calvin. For the kind of dorks that you and I are, nerds, geeks, however you want to put it, I feel like Board Lord is like, that's just like, you should be coming in every day like almost Darth Vader-esque in just a black costume and wielding your fist at all those who leave really inappropriate comments on the live stream, banning them with authority and without impunity.
It's my favorite pastime.
There you go. All right. Well, if you want to send us more nicknames for Calvin, feel free to do that. You know, you can email us. It's very simple. You can drop them in the live stream. You can drop them in the text. You can email them at janesays@civicmedia.us, janesays at civicmedia.us. You can also do that with suggestions for This Shouldn't Be a Thing, guest topics we might want to cover. We love hearing from you. We really, truly, truly do. And I want to send a shout out to Barb in Waukesha. I hope she is listening because last Tuesday was my first show sitting in for Jane this time around. And she just sent me a really nice note saying, good show, Greg. And that really, or great show, Greg. That really meant a lot. So Barb, I did see it. I did see you, and I appreciate you. Mentioned before, the Civic Media app. Calvin, we got to get down to brass tacks here for the Civic Media app. If you have it, great. You can always get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. You can call or text. You can also leave a voice note. It's also free to put on your device. So go to wherever you get your apps, whether it's the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. I just wanted to say two things. Apple Store. You can go ahead and get that app on your phone, on your device, and you can get in contact with us. Voice notes are very, very cool. And also, here's another thing, Calvin. You know this. I know this. Dan Schaefer knows this because he tries his shenanigans every Friday. For another couple weeks, we have free Ticket Friday where we're going to give you a keyword throughout the day, five different keywords throughout the day, and you can use that keyword to enter into contest to win yourself a four-pack of Brewers club level seats. We'll give you more information as far as who they're playing in a day or so, but you can always enter. You have to enter with the Civic Media app. You can enter in as many times when you get that keyword. You get that keyword. Let me rephrase that. When you get the keyword, you enter in once, you get many keywords through the day. So you have multiple chances to win. Also, and if I'm not mistaken, and I know I'm not, in the next few weeks, we're going to be doing another statewide text to win contest. We don't have the details. We can't give it to you right now because I don't have anything to tell you. All I can say is that fabulous prizes might be a part of it. And that means you want to get that Civic Media app on your device so you can participate, because you have to have that device to participate. You can't just text it in. You can't email it in. You can't call it in. You can't send it to us snail mail. You got to use that Civic Media app. So go to your app store of choice, download it right now. Listen to us live there, because you can listen to us anywhere in the world through that Civic Media app. It's incredibly diversified. It's great and customizable, and it's absolutely free. Shasta, listening in Eau Claire on WCFW, says CalPal. How about CalPal? You like that one, Calvin, for a nickname? CalPal?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
Okay, all right. So, all right. Well, while we wait for more suggestions of nicknames for Calvin, because, you know, we do the good hard work here at the WBA award-winning show, Matt and Aaron Air, it's now time for a segment we love that we call Audio Sorbet. That is when we take the time, because we've been talking a lot about a lot of heavy things. We spoke to Darren Von Ruden about the farmers. We talked about, you know, the attacks from Donald Trump on mail-in voting and voting machines again. So we want to take this moment. This is the time when we kind of kick off our shoes, relax, and talk about something fun in the news. And yesterday we were very fortunate to have some great guests on the show. Todd Alba was on. We had John Shelton, who's a professor from UW Green Bay. We also had Terry Barr, the genie of pretty much everything. And I feel like every single one of them, Calvin, told me something about Wisconsin I didn't know. So I thought, what else don't I know about Wisconsin? I've lived here my entire life. I was born and raised in southeastern Wisconsin, born in Waukesha, lived in southeastern Wisconsin my entire life. And I don't claim to know absolutely everything about it, but I didn't know some things, and everything they were telling me was wonderful. So if there are things about Wisconsin that you know that you want to share, I want you to text it in, call it in. You can leave a comment on the live stream, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, if you want to call us. But yeah, we want to know about the tidbits of Wisconsin that you know, that you'd like to share, that maybe we don't know, and we get to learn a little bit more about the wonderful cheese/dairy/ Badger State. One of the most, there's two things actually that Terry brought up yesterday. I'm going to repeat them. And one of them comes from Jim from Brookfield. She talked about this yesterday, but I want to talk about this again. Wisconsin fun fact. He's listening right now on the air. In September of 1962, a 20-pound piece of the Russian satellite Sputnik landed on a street in Manitowoc. The piece was sent to the Smithsonian Institute for confirmation. Today, the city of Manitowoc celebrates the event with Sputnik Fest. And we talked about that yesterday, because Terry Barr will be writing about that. And you can see her story on civicmedia.us/news. In fact, it's part of her Slice of Wisconsin series. Great little pieces on Wisconsin, things that we don't know, places we don't know, places as a Wisconsin that you probably never heard of and you want to visit. But yeah, Sputnik Fest. That's hard to say, Calvin. Sputnik Fest is part of the RAR West Art Museum's series. It is going to be happening, I believe, this weekend. And let's see here. There's a lot going on. There's going to be... Oh, it's going to be happening. Yeah, it's going to be happening on the 6th of September. So that is, I believe, Saturday. You can get down to Manitowoc and enjoy. It's all day long. There's going to be a 5K. There's going to be food trucks. There's going to be music. So if you want to be a part of that, do that and enjoy a little piece of space history that's connected to Wisconsin history. Calvin, do you have anything that you know about Wisconsin that we might not know? Fun factoid, maybe about where you're from in your community. You live more in Western Waukesha County, so there's always great stuff out there.
Yeah, well, I'm from Eagle. That is the home of Old World Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We have a one-room schoolhouse on display there. That is about all I know about Eagle. We have home of Paradise Springs.
Okay.
Which I believe they bottled water there like in the early 1900s, like one of the first places to ever do it. And now it's kind of a tourist attraction that high school kids go there to scare each other in the woods.
Of course.
One less, I guess it's not really fun because it's kind of sad, but I was shocked when I heard this, and a lot of people probably know this, but the legendary Otis Redding died in a plane crash in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Which I was very peculiar. I found that peculiar.
Yeah. In fact, he wasn't the first musician to perish in a crash. Stevie Ray Vaughan in the 90s did as well. And I went to, if you're ever in Georgia and you're in driving distance, go to Macon, Georgia. It's about an hour outside of Atlanta, and they have the Otis Redding Museum. And what was funny is when we went there, Calvin, we walked through my wife's favorite singer is Otis Redding. She loves Otis Redding. Like we've had arguments about who's better, Sam Cooke or Otis Redding. We just came to the realization they're both very different. They're both amazing. That's how you keep the peace. But we went there and we were looking around, very small. It's not. And when I say museum, I'm not saying it's like multi-leveled or a big building. It is literally, you know, a small room, but there's enough history there. And when we walked up to the counter to buy our wares, we bought a t-shirt, we bought some stuff, and we were talking to this young man, and he said, "Do you recognize, like, do you see it?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Do you recognize?" I said, "I don't really." He goes, "I'm Otis Redding's grandson." So Otis Redding III runs that museum, and it's a great place. His family runs it. They're working on making a bigger museum along with a music center for people, but that's Georgia. Coming back to Wisconsin, the history of Wisconsin and Waukesha, especially with regard to the spring water, is very much in also part of Waukesha City's history, because there was a time when it was called the Saratoga of the West, where there was a belief that the Bethesda Springs in Waukesha had healing properties. They bottled the water up. That's why Waukesha is called Spring City, because in the 19th century, there was such a boom for these healing waters that they actually said that water from the Fox River, I know, the Fox River and the Bethesda Springs had healing properties. And that is a fun little part of, because Waukesha was called Prairieville back in the day, and then it was called Waukesha. But yeah, Richard Dunbar, look him up. I learned so much about that in grade school, Calvin. I can't even begin to tell you. Another thing that I think that I really think we don't talk about enough, Calvin, is the fact that we are like the largest producers of cranberry in the United States. We are like, we could easily be the cranberry state. And there's a cranberry festival that happens every year. And I think it's actually coming up. That's right. It's coming up later on this month, the 26th to the 28th, the 52nd annual Warren's Cranberry Festival in Warren's, Wisconsin. We do so much cranberry work here. It's so cool. If there's another fun fact from Jim in Brookfield, he says the up north town of Luck, Wisconsin is an old logging town that got its name when the loggers made it back from camp before dark. They were lucky. I love that. Thank you so much, Jim, for letting us know about that. Is there anything else, any other fun facts you'd like to share with us? Go ahead and give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The largest woolly mammoth ever excavated was found in Kenosha. Wow. Found in Kenosha County, and you can find it at the Milwaukee Public Museum. I did not know that, Kelvin. The world's largest woolly mammoth. And if we don't learn our lesson, they're going to remake it through regeneration of DNA. We didn't learn our lesson through Jurassic Park, so we're going to keep doing that. And trying to find, there was one more. Oh, and the other thing, too, and this was also brought up by the history of the badgers was not, in fact, the animals. It had to do with mining, but we'll have to talk about that another time because we have to go run and grab some snacks and get ready for this shouldn't be a thing. But I thank everyone for reaching out and telling us about your fun Wisconsin facts. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing in the thick of it edition. Don't go anywhere. We're going to end this show with fun and with frivolity and with laughter. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, resting, relaxing. We miss her. She'll be back before you know it. If you're listening, you can get in touch. Call us. text us 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, or what we still call Twitter. There's going to be a fun show tomorrow too. The rest of the time while I'm hosting, Calvin, is packed to the rafters. We are going to have great discussions tomorrow. It's already Thursday. I know we had Monday off, but Thursday feels like it's here with a vengeance. But that means we're talking to Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. He's also a former U.S. attorney, current practicing attorney, and he will be talking to us about everything going on in the law world. I want to talk to him about the legalities of sending troops into various cities, as well as anything else he wants to cover. But Jim Santel will be here at 9:35 tomorrow, as well as Brittany Merlot with the weather at 10:20 and J.R. Radcliffe with sports at 10:35, quelling my baby heart because the Brewers are, it's getting rough in this last month of play, getting nervous. So they'll be here tomorrow. It's going to be a great, great show, so don't go anywhere. Also, after us is going to be Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, then Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabo with Nightlight from 6 to 8, and then wonderful programming after that, including the Rick Smith Show and Native Roots Radio. So don't go anywhere. Stay close. If you want to listen to it on your phone or your device, get the Pacific Media app in your life because it makes it easier for listening, and you can take us anywhere in the world, including Austria or Vienna or New Zealand. It's true, but God, Calvin, I talk a lot. It's 10:54. I'm so sorry. I'm making you sit there and wait with the button. It's 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it to Jane and me and Calvin too at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays at civicmedia.us. Calvin, I think I just found a song for how to get in touch with us. Did you like that song? That was for you.
I really did like it. You have to promise me you're going to record it and release it on Spotify.
Yeah. I'll become a Spotify artist, and then I'll become too big for radio, and then I'll go world touring, and I'll start a podcast, and then I'll just... My ultimate downfall. That will be my ultimate downfall. But it's time for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. This comes way of the BBC. So our This Shouldn't Be a Things are getting fancier now. The BBC is a news outlet. It is respected. Comes from Charlie Buckland, who has the byline. And Calvin brought this to us. And I would love... So I want to talk about it real quick here. So here's the headline. First professional bog snorkeler defends title. The world of sports is wild, friends. Not for the faint of heart or faint of smell, bog snorkeling is often considered an acquired taste. I don't open my mouth, so I'm not tasting anything. This comes from Llanwrt Wells Powys, which is in Wales. The World Bog Snorkeling Championships will be taking place. It involves racing through 120 yards of peat bog trench and sees nearly 200 people take part annually. Neil Rudder is 46. He secured his sixth win at the championships and is now celebrating being the first professional in the sport. He's the first, maybe only. I don't know. Calvin, you brought this to us. And here's the thing is, everything about this sport says, ew. But I wouldn't go as far as saying it shouldn't be a thing because I don't want to step on people's dreams. But Calvin, you were like, no, not in my house.
Look, I mean.
Defend yourself.
I guess it's, have you ever heard of noodling?
Yes, I know exactly what noodling is.
I also think that should not be a thing.
Okay.
For the people who aren't aware, noodling is this, I think it's popular in Mississippi and Alabama. That
also
area.
Nebraska, but Oklahoma.
Okay, yeah.
Oklahoma City.
Wherever there's rivers or lakes with large catfish, you... Mm-hmm. It involves sticking your hands inside a catfish nest in the bottom of a river, letting it bite your hands, and pulling it out of the river. So, like I said, I don't think that should be a thing, but if people really want to do it, I won't begrudge them. So, this kind of falls into that category. I think it's a peat bog, so it smells.
Yeah.
And I'm just... get squeamish swimming in water where you can't see the bottom.
Are you the type of person?
Of anything?
Are you the type of person who, if you go swimming in like a lake and like just something touches your foot, you're like, I'm out, done.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm the type of person that would swim in a pool over a, I'll take a pool over a lake any
day. I think a lot of people would be in that. I grew up the first generation after Jaws. So I thought sharks were in Manuka Park Lake, which is like not even close to a thing that could happen. But I completely understand that. But I just, the idea that bog snorkeling, someone said, you know what? And see this line of smelly, disgusting water? I'm going to make a living off it. And Neil Rudder, 41, has done that. He is the record holder of the championships. He's equipped with a snorkel, flippers. He's a 2-time cancer survivor from Bath. And he previously hung up his flippers in 2023, but he said, quote, the bog bug brought him back. I think the bog bug is something you have to see a doctor about that you get in a peat bog because it's slowly just devouring your insides. I don't know, Calvin. I'm sort of with you on this one, but live your life, journey your journey. That's another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, traffic. Thank you, engineers. Without you, nothing ever happens, and we appreciate everything you do. I want to thank you, everyone, for listening, calling, texting, getting in touch with us, just being part of the show, being a part of our lives. Without you, there is no us. I want to thank, of course, Darren Von Ruden, Sarah Gonski for being our guest, and I want to thank everyone at Civic Media for being amazing, because I love all of you, and we are going to be back tomorrow with us another great show. But don't go anywhere. Stay close, because after the news, we got Tom Hartman until 2 o'clock, and then a great swath of shows after that. You are absolutely amazing. Let no one tell you differently. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.